Welcome to Hot Off the Wire, a daily podcast that looks at the top news, business, sports, and entertainment stories as reported by the Associated Press. I'm Terry Lipschitz, managing editor at the National Newsroom at Lee Enterprises and your curator of news. Be sure to subscribe to Hot Off the Wire through Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss daily news updates. And now the latest headlines.
AP News. Good morning, I'm Ed Donahue. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky says a vow by Russia's Vladimir Putin not to attack energy infrastructure was very much at odds with reality after recent drone strikes. Zelensky says he will talk later today with President Trump. The Ukrainian leader is in Finland, meeting with President Alexander Stubb.
Ukraine has an undeniable right to defend itself on its own and supported by its partners. This right cannot be restricted in any way, not now and not in the future.
The strikes, which hit civilian areas and damaged a hospital, followed Putin's refusal to back a full 30-day ceasefire during discussions with President Trump. A federal judge ruled President Trump's executive order excluding transgender troops from military service likely violates their constitutional rights. A federal judge ruled the dismantling of the U.S. Agency for International Development, USAID, by Elon Musk's Department of Government Efficiency likely violated the Constitution. On Fox News Channel, President Trump was asked if he would defy a court order.
Can't do that. However, we have bad judges. We have very bad judges. And these are judges that shouldn't be allowed. I think at a certain point, you have to start looking at what do you do when you have a rogue judge.
The order requires the Trump administration to restore email and computer access to all employees of USAID, including those put on administrative leave. But it stops short of reversing firings or fully resurrecting the agency. A multi-year cleanup of a former U.S. air base in Vietnam was abruptly halted when the Trump administration cut funding, leaving tons of dioxin-contaminated soil exposed. Supreme Court Chief Justice John Roberts is rejecting calls for impeaching federal judges after President Trump demanded the removal of a judge who ruled against his deportation plans. This is AP News. The mayor of Istanbul has been arrested.
The wife of Istanbul's mayor, Ekrem İmamoğlu, shrugs off the accusations. Dilek İmamoğlu says it's impossible Ekrem's guilty and derides the charges as laughable. His arrest marks a dramatic escalation in an ongoing government crackdown on the opposition and dissenting voices in Turkey. The state-run Anadolu Agency says prosecutors issued detention warrants for some 100 other people as part of the operation. İmamoğlu is a popular opposition leader and a key rival of Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan. I'm Charles Tillotesma.
Violent attacks on Tesla dealerships have spiked as owner Elon Musk has taken a prominent role in the Trump White House. Cybertrucks have been set on fire. Bullets and Molotov cocktails have been aimed at Tesla showrooms. I'm Ed Donahue, AP News.
And splashdown, Crew 9 back on Earth.
And with that, NASA astronauts Butch Wilmore and Sonny Williams returned to Earth, hitching a ride home with two other astronauts on SpaceX. The two expected to be gone just a week or so after launching on Boeing's new Starliner crew capsule on June 5th. So many problems cropped up on the way to the space station that NASA eventually sent Starliner back empty and transferred the test pilots to SpaceX, pushing their homecoming into February. Then the SpaceX capsule experienced issues, adding yet another delay. Wilmore and Williams ended up spending 286 days in space. That's 278 days longer than anticipated.
Nick, Alex, Butch, Sunny, on behalf of SpaceX, welcome home.
I'm Lisa Dwyer.
Another Republican member of Congress heard boos at a town hall meeting. There were more than 200 people at a high school auditorium in eastern Nebraska to hear from Republican Congressman Mike Flood.
We have the Department of Government Efficiency that is looking at, and it's a summit.
Flood was speaking in Columbus, Nebraska, the seat of a county that voted nearly 3-1 for Donald Trump in November. Pat Lostro traveled 30 miles to be at that meeting.
What Trump and Musk are doing are way beyond the boundaries of how things should be done in a democracy.
Fear of cuts to social services dominated the discussion. Flood says he was prepared.
I knew that this was going to could be contentious at times, and it was important to me that even if somebody was disrupting the meeting, they didn't feel like they were going to get kicked out or get in trouble.
Most in the crowd in Nebraska gave Flood credit for showing up in person and hearing their concerns. I'm Ed Donahue.
An immigration activist was arrested at a Denver area Target store during her work break. Jeanette Vizguerra, who originally came to the U.S. in the 90s, is being held in Aurora, Colorado. That's according to immigration advocates in contact with her lawyer and family. Vizguerra has been fighting deportation since she was arrested in 2009 for driving without a license or vehicle registration. She also admitted to using a forged identity document. The mother of four made headlines during the first Trump administration after seeking refuge in Denver churches to avoid deportation. In 2020, she stopped living in the sanctuaries and had been trying to obtain a visa granted to crime victims. I'm Marcela Sanchez.
A federal judge has blocked the Trump administration from terminating $14 billion in grants awarded to three climate groups by the Biden administration. The order also blocks Citibank, which holds the money on behalf of the Environmental Protection Agency, from transferring that money back to the government or anyone else. EPA Administrator Lee Zeldin had accused the grant recipients of mismanagement, fraud, and self-dealing and froze the grants. But after reviewing the arguments, Judge Tanya Chutkan said the government's vague and unsubstantiated assertions of fraud are insufficient. Ben Thomas, Washington.
A federal judge has ruled that the dismantling of the U.S. Agency for International Development likely violated the Constitution and blocked billionaire Elon Musk's Department of Government Efficiency from further cuts. The ruling orders the Trump administration to restore email and computer access to all employees of USAID, including those who were placed on administrative leave. In February, the Trump administration placed all but a fraction of the agency's worldwide staff on leave and notified at least 1,600 of its U.S.-based staffers that they were being fired in an effort to gut the six-decade-old agency and as part of a broader push to cancel billions of dollars in foreign spending. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
President Trump is ramping up his attacks on the judiciary amid legal challenges. In a social media post, the president ripped federal judge James Boasberg, who has tried to stop the administration's deportations to El Salvador. The president writes, "This judge, like many of the crooked judges I'm forced to appear before, should be impeached." Allies like Elon Musk have made similar calls, but just yesterday.
I have not heard the president talk about impeaching judges.
Spokeswoman Caroline Levitt has also gone after judges, accusing them of acting like judicial activists seeking to block the president's agenda. President Trump and Vladimir Putin have agreed to an immediate pause in strikes on energy and infrastructure targets in the Russia-Ukraine war. The White House calls it the first step in a movement to peace, though in a lengthy phone call, Putin did not back the broader 30-day ceasefire the U.S. wants. And shortly after the call, air raid alerts sounded in Kyiv, followed by explosions. Still, the Trump administration hopes the agreement on a limited truce will eventually include a maritime ceasefire in the Black Sea and then a full end to the war. The Kremlin says Putin wants the president to end all foreign military and intelligence aid to Ukraine as a condition for ending the fighting. The Pentagon is aiming to cut up to 60,000 civilian jobs as part of DOGE's effort to slash the federal workforce. Defense Chief Pete Hegseth previewed the cuts last month, saying the Pentagon's waste and redundancies need to be addressed.
We welcome DOGE to the Pentagon.
The goal is to cut about 5 to 8% of the Pentagon's civilian workforce, roughly 50 to 60,000 jobs. A senior defense official says fewer than 21,000 workers who took a voluntary resignation plan will leave in coming months. So the plan is to slash about 6,000 positions per month by simply not replacing workers who routinely leave. A central concern is whether service members might be tapped to fill those jobs. But the official says Hegseth wants to make sure the cuts do not hurt military readiness. President Trump and Vladimir Putin have spoken on the phone for more than an hour, taking what the White House calls the first step in a movement toward peace in Ukraine. The White House says the two leaders agreed to seek a limited ceasefire against energy and infrastructure targets and hope to eventually expand that to a full and lasting end to the war itself. It's unclear if Ukraine is on board with the phased ceasefire plan. Volodymyr Zelensky was not on the call and has said he's skeptical Putin is ready for peace. The Kremlin says Putin urged President Trump to end foreign military and intelligence aid to Ukraine as a condition for the fighting to stop. Sagar Meghani, Washington.
A Trump administration funding freeze is leaving U.S.-allied Afghan refugees scrambling for the basics. Rahmani worked for a U.S.-backed organization in Kabul and was at risk of retribution from the Taliban. Now in the U.S., relocation services have been stopped. Rahmani doesn't have a job.
What happened? If they will kick me out from the apartment, where should I stay with? Should I stay with my family in the road?
Marjila Badakst was evacuated from Kabul in 2021. She had a job with a group that helped refugees.
The last policy and the last executive order, we got layoff and the whole department was closed.
Lawsuits against the Trump administration have been filed over its immigration policies. For Rahmani, the road ahead is all about his children.
I came for their future, not for my own.
In Afghanistan, his daughter would not be allowed to go to school. Ed Donahue, Washington.
Harvard University students won't need to worry about finances anymore. The Ivy League school announced families with an annual income of less than $200,000 won't have to pay tuition starting in the fall, and households that make less than $100,000 would have their food and housing covered on top of tuition. Harvard is now one of several other elite institutions who have offered this type of assistance to middle-income students. I'm Marcela Sanchez.
Google has announced a proposed takeover of Wiz for $32 billion, part of an aggressive expansion into cloud computing.
So why this acquisition and why now?
CEO Sundar Pichai addressed the move in a YouTube webcast by investor relations for parent company Alphabet.
Organizations are looking for cybersecurity solutions that improve cloud security and span multiple clouds. Wiz is an innovative leading cloud security platform trusted by more than 50% of Fortune 100 companies who already use their products and services.
Wiz, based in New York, was founded in 2020 and makes security tools designed to protect information stored in remote data centers. If approved by regulators, Wiz will join Google Cloud, a rising star separate from its search and advertising operations. I'm Jennifer King.
Jury selection has begun in the bribery trial of Nadine Menendez, whose husband, former U.S. Senator Bob Menendez, was sentenced to 11 years in prison earlier this year for accepting hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of gold and cash. Breast cancer and reconstructive surgery led to the 58-year-old being tried separately. She's pled not guilty to charges of participating in the same bribery scheme as her husband. In his trial, one witness testified Nadine Menendez got a Mercedes in exchange for the Democratic senator trying to get prosecutors to drop a criminal investigation involving one of his associates. Also, during his trial, he said the gold bars were his wife's. Louisiana used nitrogen gas to put Jesse Hoffman Jr. to death Tuesday for killing Molly Elliott. Witnesses said he appeared to shake. Officials maintain the method is painless. Louisiana Attorney General Liz Merle.
Molly was brutally and mercilessly raped and murdered. She was only 28 years old. That was nearly 30 years ago. Tonight, justice was served.
The execution comes after a 15-year hiatus in the state. Samantha Kennedy, with the Promise of Justice Initiative, says they hope this is not a pattern.
There are states around us that are what we call the killing states, and I don't think that it's helpful or wise for Louisiana to follow that.
Three other executions by lethal injection are scheduled this week in Arizona, Florida, and Oklahoma. I'm Julie Walker.
I'm Seth Soutell, and this is the AP Markets Report. Wall Street's roller coaster ride took another turn lower, and its former superstars were once again leading the way. The S&P 500 lost 1.1% Tuesday. The index has been swerving sharply in recent weeks, mostly to the downside. The Dow Jones Industrial Average dropped 260 points. It's about 0.6%. The NASDAQ Composite fell 1.7%. Tesla and stocks in the artificial intelligence industry were again some of the heaviest weights on the market. They've been among the hardest hit in Wall Street's recent sell-off that's been caused by uncertainty created by President Donald Trump's trade war. Treasury yields slipped in the bond market. The yield on the 10-year Treasury note fell to 4.28%. Seth Sutel, New York.
R.J. Davis led the way for North Carolina in a 95-68 rout of fellow number 11 seed San Diego State in a first four matchup, scoring 26 points to silence the Tar Heels' doubters and set up a first round matchup with six-seeded Ole Miss.
One thing about us, like, yes, we hear the noise, but we don't really pay attention to it. We stay within ourselves.
In the other first four matchup, Alabama State edged fellow number 16 seed St. Francis of Pennsylvania 70-68 on Amar Knox's last second layup after a desperation full court pass.
We executed a play that we pressed on all day in practice, our game plan, and it worked.
Alabama State will face top overall seed Auburn in the first round. Jani Broom of Auburn and Cooper Flagg of Duke were unanimous first team selections for the AP All-America team. The Indiana Hoosiers have hired Darian DeVries as their new head coach. NFL two-time Super Bowl champion and Pro Bowl defensive end Brandon Graham has retired after 15 seasons. The defending World Series champion Dodgers opened the MLB season with a 4-1 win over the Cubs on Tuesday in Tokyo. Japanese two-way star Shohei Ohtani recorded a pair of hits and scored two runs. He spoke through an interpreter.
It's been a while that I felt actually this nervous playing a game, so in that sense, I felt like in the first couple at-bats, I needed some time to adjust.
Yoshinobu Yamamoto tossed five innings of one-run ball with four strikeouts for the Dodgers. Fellow Japanese ace Shota Imanaga spun four scoreless for the Cubs. LA took the lead for good at 2-1 on Teoscar Hernandez's tie-breaking groundout and ensuing Chicago throwing error in a three-run fifth inning.
A sellout crowd of baseball fans jammed the Tokyo Dome to see the Los Angeles Dodgers take on the Chicago Cubs in the MLB season opener. Dodgers fan Ryoma Yamamoto was pleased there were so many Japanese players, saying he wanted to see star pitcher Shohei Ohtani hit a homer more than anything. As for all the buildup, Ohtani said all the attention actually made him more nervous than he's been in a while. Yoshinobu Yamamoto and Cubs lefty Shota Imanaga both pitched well in the first all-Japanese starting pitching matchup on opening day in MLB history. Imanaga said it felt like it was going to be a historic game. In the end, he threw four scoreless innings, allowing no hits but four walks, walking four. Ohtani had two hits and scored twice, and the defending champions beat the Chicago Cubs 4-1. I'm Jennifer King.
The Players Association, co-founded by 24-time Grand Slam champion Novak Djokovic, has filed an antitrust lawsuit against the Women's and Men's Professional Tennis Tours, the International Tennis Federation, and the Sports Integrity Agency. The filing on behalf of the Professional Tennis Players Association says the organizations that run the sport hold complete control over the players' pay and working conditions, and their setup constitutes textbook violations of state and federal law that immunize professional tennis from ordinary market forces and deny professional tennis players and other industry participants their rights to fair competition. I'm Geffen Kulbach.
The Italian daily Corriere della Sera published a letter to the editor from Francis, signed and dated March 14. In it, the pontiff renewed his call for diplomacy and international organizations to find a new vitality and credibility, and he said that his illness had also helped make some things clearer to him, including the absurdity of war. Francis went on, human fragility has the power to make us more lucid about what endures and what passes, what brings life and what kills. Also Tuesday, Buckingham Palace announced plans for an upcoming meeting between the Pontiff and King Charles III. The new law continues a crackdown by Prime Minister Viktor Orban's right-wing populist party on the country's LGBTQ plus community. It amends Hungary's laws on assembly to make it an offence to hold or attend events that violate Hungary's contentious child protection legislation, which prohibits, the law reads, the depiction or promotion of homosexuality to minors under 18. Attending a prohibited event will carry fines of up to 200,000 Hungarian forints, that's around $546. As the vote was tabled, opposition lawmakers ignited smoke bombs in the chamber. Budapest Pride organizers said that the aim was to scapegoat the LGBTQ plus community in order to silence voices critical of Orbán's government. The Arab country Qatar has served as a key mediator with Hamas and helped broker the ceasefire that took hold in January. Qatar's foreign ministry on Tuesday spoke out against the resumption of the Israeli occupation's aggression against the Gaza Strip, saying it threatens regional stability. Egypt, which also played a key role in brokering the ceasefire, has also condemned the wave of heavy strikes Israel launched early Tuesday. Similarly, a statement from the Saudi Foreign Ministry calls for an immediate ceasefire and for the protection of civilians. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
I'm Terry Lipschitz, thanking you for listening. Audio provided by the Associated Press. Be sure to subscribe to Hot Off the Wire on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss an episode.